from the DGDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco. Now your hosts, Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Joe Lowe and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Joe Lowe and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Good morning and welcome to Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. We have got a monster show for you today. Dave Fleming, one of the play-by-play voices of both ESPN and the San Francisco Giants, will join us at 8:30. You have an opportunity, actually not one opportunity, but four, to win $1,000. 6:10, 7:10, 8:10, and 9:10 this morning. Four opportunities to win $1,000. We've got so many topics today. Our cup overfloweth. One thing we didn't even mention this morning, I'm going to bring it up very quickly. Did you see Deontay Wilder and Ortiz Saturday night in Brooklyn?
They got it on. Did not see.
What a fight.
The big boys were going at it, throwing some serious lead.
I went 10. Wilder took him down in 10. He now has a 40-0 record with 39 knockouts, the most knockouts through the first 40 fights in boxing history for the heavyweight division. George Foreman previously had the record at 37. Did you see that fight Saturday night?
No, I missed it, darn it. I love talking boxing with you guys, too, because it's always
wild.
A good conversation.
The big boys was letting they was letting that leather go, huh? They was letting that leather go?
Scary. To the point where you question whether or not that should even be allowed.
Wow.
I mean, two big boys slugging it out. It was a great fight. It wasn't Leonard Lalonde.
Right. No, I got you.
It certainly wasn't Leonard Lalonde, which we did in detail last week.
Wow.
But we got a lot going on today. The first ever installment of the Bay Area Caller Ratings. We came up with a name for it this morning. Dibs was all over this. Baystar, Bay Area Sports Talk Audience Rankings. The Bay Area Sports Talk Audience Rankings, a.k.a. Baystar.
Nice.
8:45 this morning. At 8:45, we will release our top five, as well as our others receiving vote. For those who are just joining the program or who are new to this concept, we started it last week. We are basically rating the callers by region. And it's positive reinforcement if the call drops or maybe the take isn't as spicy as we would prefer. We're not going to dock you. We appreciate the calls from everywhere. But the ones that come hard, the ones that come with the thunder, night in, night out, down there in the paint, you're getting rewarded. And this top five was very controversial this morning.
Oh, yeah.
It's no way to start off a week amongst us at 4 a.m, but so be it. Those were our problems. There are real world problems taking place all over. And one specifically of note to this show in this area, Alden Smith has found himself back in the news. The details are sketchy, but they are as follows. Sometime around 8:30 p.m. on Saturday night, a female called 911 to report a domestic violence incident against Alden Smith at the residence in which he was at. He fled the scene before officers arrived, and no one has seen him since. Authorities are still looking for him. The story continues to get bigger and bigger by the moment. He did have a post on Instagram Sunday night, a picture of a gravel road, very, very cryptic, with, I don't know, a WTF, G-O-H, y'all know nothing, some comment. But again, this saga continues to get sadder and sadder low by the moment, and now Alden just on the run. It appears.
Yeah, it's another twist into his ongoing problems and running with the law and just battery. And here's an alleged another situation that's going to hurt this young man, and not just that. We don't know the details of how bad this young lady's hurt. It's just sad. It's really sad that you see an individual that had so much talent, that had the tiger by the tail, that was, you know, really, really in a situation to transcend the linebacker position and one of the best linebackers in the game. And because of selfishness, because of addiction that wouldn't be addressed, that couldn't control, has taken him out of the game and also has made him a risk for himself and others around him.
The Mercury News, citing dispatch audio, reported that the alleged victim said Smith bit her wrists and may have fled in a black Range Rover. A San Francisco dispatcher reportedly said Smith drank 2 bottles of tequila. Dibs, any of this surprising to you?
No, and sadly it's not surprising, and you've seen him regress a number of different times, and you've seen incidents of domestic violence with Alden Smith and problems with alcohol, so these details that are emerging, whether or not they're factual or not, they sound true. And that's the saddest part. That, and Lowe's right, this guy had the tiger by the tail. He was averaging basically a sack a game. He was on a Hall of Fame trajectory in the NFL, but personally unable to keep it together, and he continues to plummet down this dangerous path. And hopefully the authorities can find him before he does harm to himself or someone else.
There's really only one way the story ends, and that's with death. It's tough to hear that, and I understand that that might come across as insensitive, but I'm talking about Alden Smith, he has absolutely no desire whatsoever to seek any help, to try to improve upon his lifestyle, to try to do anything to get back on the straight and narrow. Either he will die or he will kill someone and go to jail. This is an individual that needs prison. Plain and simple, he needs prison. He has shown that he cannot operate within the confines of a society in which we all share with him. We're all out there on the roads with our children, with our friends. We come into work. People, nurses, doctors, anybody out there on the road trying to do their thing. And then there's this guy. There's this guy who repeatedly has shown he has no interest in playing it the way the rest of us are supposed to, the way the rest of us are required to. And he's been enabled to a large extent. No one's been there to slap the wrist or do anything about it. When it became too much for the Niners, they moved on. The Raiders obviously wanted to take a shot because this is a guy who can sack the quarterback. But the problem is you can't sack the quarterback when you're suspended. And he's still a member of the Oakland Raiders. He's just on the reserve suspended list. And no one, it appears, is doing anything to help him. And I'm not saying that anyone's required to do that. Raiders certainly aren't. You wanted to take a shot, so be it. It's a cold business. But this story ends, because we've seen it before, with either him dying or him killing someone and going to prison, which is why somehow, some way, that trajectory needs to be interrupted.
Without a doubt. And you look at this situation and you say, okay, he's got to want to help himself. But he's shown, Alden himself has shown that he doesn't want help. And people, I understand about addiction. Like I told you guys, I know I have family members, my Uncle Joe, his addiction. And until people say, you know what, I want help, and they throw themselves into rehab and actually go do things and change their friends and change their environment, you'll continue down this road. And you're without a doubt. It's a reason why there's millions of people, not hundreds and not hundreds of thousands, but in prisons. Prisons are continuing because this type of behavior happens every single day. Unfortunately, that Alden is at the forefront because of what he does. It's brought light to this, you know, situation, because what he's done now is shown that it's reckless. It's shown that he has no desire, even when you're addicted and your body craves alcohol or drugs, whatever it is, you can still get help. And he's shown that he's going to continue to drink. Like you said, he's shown that he's continued to disregard all the signs that he's had, all the different helps and different chances. This is a guy that's on a collision course with a not a good ending.
And I think Joe's right as far as the collision course, outcome. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be one of two things, either incarceration or death. And you hate
maybe
to
the best
see
thing
it.
For him.
Well, and he needs to decide if he wants to quit drinking or not. And if you're not going to quit drinking and you're going to continue to find your way into these problems, then incarceration is largely going to be inevitable. You know, he had the incident with the assault weapon and drunk driving previous times. And if the details of this incident are true and he had two bottles of tequila and then allegedly bit this woman or injured her in some way and then left the scene driving a vehicle, you got multiple charges and you've already had a previous situation of multiple charges. So if he's found or when he's found, he's probably looking at jail time over this.
Yeah, and he can't. And, you know, I didn't mean to bite her. What are you going to say? I was hungry. You can't say anything. What are you going to do?
You fled. Yeah. You've been gone for almost 48 hours, 36 hours minimum right now. You're gone. The police are looking for you and you're nowhere to be found. How does that look? That's not what an innocent man generally does. Right?
I totally agree.
So you flee the scene. Fine. Whatever it is out there, don't get behind the wheel. Don't get behind the wheel and go to jail. Someone needs to put him in jail. How many more opportunities does society need to give someone of this caliber? This guy is a major risk to the rest of us. He's a risk to every woman he's around, apparently. He's a risk to anyone who's out there on the roads with him. He clearly has no inclination, no desire whatsoever to change his current model of behavior. You need to put an individual like this behind bars. He needs to go away so that he can dry up and hopefully have a reckoning to get to a point where you decide, all right, this is no way to lead a life. I might not ever be able to play football again, but I can try to be a productive member of society. I can try to fix what is currently wrong. It is a tragic story. It's only going to get worse. If no one in his life is going to intervene for him, okay. That's where the police come in. That's why we have the police.
Yeah, and you reach a point where you can no longer help yourself. And when you have repeated incidents and repeated infractions with the law, at some point, yeah, Joe, he has to be put away. And maybe that's the only way you can forcibly make him dry out.
I mean, isn't it the same thing every time? There's alcohol, then there's a call to police, then he may or may not be there. It was 1 year ago that he was getting released from the police station because his friend was involved in that hit and run. Where he came outside and reporters swamped him, he looked terrible. That was a dude who looked a mess. Disappeared for a year, who knows what was happening. And the next time we hear his name, it's here.
Yeah.
It's for this.
Sad.
Seek help, please. It's time for the 12K per day national cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word PARTY to 72881. PARTY to 72881. Message and data rates apply. Now for some football conversation. Raiders, Niners, round two. It's officially on. We'll explain next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
The report surfaces over the weekend that these two are about to go head-to-head yet again. It is going to be a very big year for the Niner-Raider rivalry. Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets out of New York, he's with ESPN, wrote a piece over the weekend breaking down a lot of Jets team needs, things that were happening at the Combine, one of those grab bag type pieces. Here's number four, and I'm going to read this directly to you. The cornerback situation will be interesting. The Jets are interested in re-signing Morris Claiborne, but the two sides aren't close. They're expected to have interest in Tremaine Johnson, but the word is he's headed to the Oakland Raiders or San Francisco 49ers. So Rich Cimini, who's been covering the Jets and the NFL for a very long time, worked his way up from the New York Daily News to ESPN. In his grab bag here, he's clearly at the Combine in Indy, and the word on the street is that Tremaine Johnson is going to be highly sought after by both the Raiders and the Niners, two teams that need a cornerback. Interesting to see these two going head-to-head for Tremaine Johnson?
No, it's not, Joe, and they're going to be going head-to-head in the draft. I mean, think about what one's picking 9 and one picking 10.
And then inevitably during the regular season. The rivalry's on, son.
It's absolutely amazing to see both these two teams with a lot of cap space trying to get a corner and maybe even another corner in the draft. Just goes to show you how sought after the cornerback position is, and it goes to show you what Gruden's thinking, what Kyle Shanahan's thinking, because they understand this is a pass-happy league, and you got to have guys to stop those receivers from running down the field and got to have some lockdown corner. And this young man, Tremaine Johnson, he can get it done.
6'1", 205, he went to Montana, which, side note, if you can ever go see a game at Montana, specifically the rivalry they call the Brawl in the Wild between Montana and Montana State, fantastic time. I went 5 or 6 years ago. Fantastic time. He was drafted 2012, third round by the St. Louis Rams at the time. He's been in the league this was his fifth season. He was coming off of two consecutive franchise tags. So Tremaine Johnson made a lot of money. Problem is, Pro Football Focus and a lot of other scouts did not grade him out very well last season. And he's expected to command a pretty price tag. We're talking probably neighborhood, I don't want to say $13 to $15 million possibly. When you handicap the race, Dibs, do you think either team has an edge in the race for Tremaine Johnson here?
I think the 49ers would have to have the edge based on cap space available just on that surface alone. If both teams are interested and the interest is equal, the Niners have a greater ability to come up with more money, so I would put them at the forefront. As a result, the Raiders may have a greater need, a greater passion to bring him in. Certainly the 49ers had two chances to look at him up close and personal. So they know, you would assume, they know full well whether or not they like the player enough to pay that much. The Raiders have more of a whiff of desperation. You know, Amerson's gone. You already had corner issues. Garion Conley's shin has been surgically repaired, but you don't know exactly what you have back there. It's a toss-up, but I think the Niners have a little bit of a better chance to get him.
Niners are working with about $68 million in cap space. That's about six most in the NFL. The Raiders are working with somewhere in the neighborhood of about $20 million in cap space. That's 23rd in the NFL. Rod Woodson, the Hall of Famer, joined Greg Papa last week. He had this to say about Tremaine Johnson.
Would you pay Tremaine Johnson big-time money, Rod?
I would not. You know, when he was free agent last time, out of the two, it was him and Janoris Jenkins. They tagged him and let Janoris Jenkins leave. I would have tagged Janoris Jenkins and let Tremaine leave. I thought Janoris Jenkins is a better player, but you never know. You know, it depends on the style of defense that they're going to have here. If they're going to play a lot of man-to-man, then no. If you're going to play a lot of quarters, then you can probably use them. But I wouldn't pay top dollars to bring him in here to be the savior for the secondary.
Low, Rod Woodson with some strong words. That is a very strong take from the Hall of Famer. He's played defensive back at the highest of possible levels. He watches Tremaine Johnson. He has that to say. Should we be inclined to believe him? Should we be siding with him?
Well, I think Rod's been around the game. He's seen a lot of corners. He played at a very high level. So you got to definitely take what he's saying seriously. And you can't just take it with a grain of salt. You got to look at what Rod has been able to do and as a Hall of Famer. Watch what his productivity on the field. And he's talking about, hey, if I was just going to play a defense that's playing quarters or quarter over, that's where, you know, the guy's playing a quarter of the field so he can keep his eyes on the quarterback and kind of dropping kind of to the zone, Joe, and playing those quarters. That's when he says this guy's pretty dominant because now he can key the quarterback and be able to break on passes. So he says a great quarter, but if he's not a good man-to-man player, so that's tough. So if you're not going to play quarters, if Rod's saying, alluding to that, my thing is, can he be fixed? Can you make him better? Can you make this guy be able to be a versatile corner and be able to play quarters as well as man? And if the answer is no, and if it's not worth that, then you can invest that kind of money in this cornerback position. But the biggest thing to me, why that coin flip was so important, Joe, because now you look at free agency, both these teams need a linebacker. And both these teams need corner. So since now the Niners in free agency, if they can go ahead and get their cornerback locked up, now at number 9, if they're picking first, now they can say we can get that backer that the linebacker the Raiders want to get as well. So this is a very, very interesting dynamic, especially when you're talking about corner and linebacker.
Well, if someone were to come out of left field and land Tremaine Johnson, that would mean having the 9 over the 10 valuable because of Denzel Ward, cornerback out of Ohio State. Roquan Smith, the linebacker out of Georgia, had a very nice combine over the weekend as well, a position of need for both teams. How about what Saquon Barkley did?
Wow.
The running back out of Penn State, he's virtually a consensus number one now. They are saying, and this is expert after expert after expert saying, this is the best player in this year's draft class. 233 pounds, he runs 4.4 flat. He throws up 29 reps on the bench. Broad jump, vertical jump, 3-cone drill. Everything he did was straight freakish. And now people are saying the Browns would be idiotic to pass on him at 1, even though the Browns absolutely need a quarterback. At what point would Barkley need to fall before you would recommend the Niners possibly trading up? Or would you never be interested in trading up for a guy like that? The Raiders probably not interested. They've got Marshawn Lynch. But this dude had a huge combine. All the winners and losers list you're going to read the next few days, Barkley's going to be at the top of every single list.
Without a doubt. But you look at the history of running backs taking number 1 overall, and you go back to the last guy. He was a Penn State running back, and you have to bristle a little bit. Kajana Carter, your last running back take. I know he's not Kajana
Coach,
Carter.
Coach, that was in a different millennium.
Coach, you're right, 1995.
We're talking about Abe Lincoln out here.
Were you in kindergarten in 1995, for crying out loud? I was already shaving, but barely.
You had Kajana Carter, also Curtis Enos.
Oh, wow.
Was a top 5 pick, I believe, number 4 overall to the Bears 1 year.
Yes.
Curtis Enos, the big joke.
Yeah.
Put the P
so
in front of
So even though
Enos.
Saquon Barkley,
wow.
You can...
Wow.
I mean, come on, we're having some fun, aren't we?
No, it's true. It's back to 1995
right.
Humor, for sure. Those jokes killed back then.
That
yeah.
Was hot.
Without a doubt. I think
Enos.
Barkley's definitely going nice. Top 3, but you still got to be a little, I think, cautious to take a running back number 1 overall.
Like if his middle name was Patrick, Curtis P. Enos.
Perfect.
Next up, we're going to ask who wants to be a member of the Penn 15 Club. All I have to do is write Penn 15 on your arm and you're in the club.
You're on fire right now.
Never heard of that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of fire, Bay Area Sports Talk audience rankings being released today, 8:45. We have our top 5 to release to the masses. I'm not sure how much controversy we're going to stir up, but I am looking forward to that, as well as the next conversation. Kevin Durant spoke on Friday. And for those of you who know what I'm talking about, I'm sure you're going to be very interested in the next segment. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Friday after the show, the worst possible time from a very selfish standpoint.
True, true.
Friday, like right after the show, Anthony Slater from The Athletic is talking with Kevin Durant and basically at point blank asks him, you know, so what's the story for next year? Is there going to be an opt out, an opt in? What are you going to do? Where are we at with this? And to quote Durant, oh, you want to start this up? And then they fire back and forth. You know, it's a nice light conversation. And Durant eventually says, quote, "I'm not even thinking about that. I'm here. I ain't even thought about that." To make it simpler, is it 100% in your mind that you will be back with the Warriors next season? He asked him that point blank. Is it 100% in your mind that you, Kevin Durant, will be back with the Warriors next season?
What'd he say?
Durant says, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He must have said yeah, because my Twitter and my phone, people just...
What do you mean, Lo?
Lo, what are you talking...
Why did they say, focus on you?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Well, I was just under impression. I just look at certain things for what they are, and I know we go back it and go at it back and forth, guys on the show, and guys call me Trollenzo and all those different things, dibs that you.
Yeah. That you I wonder why.
I just thought that here's a guy that you look what he's done. He's left before. He's winning a ring. He's going to have his ring. He's MVP of the game as well. You know, I thought that there would be a chance that Kevin Durant would opt out after the season. To go and continue his legacy and plan another place. So, really shocked.
Yeah, shocking.
Good for the Warriors.
I'll just gently retort with.
Good for the Warriors.
Yeah, great
it's
for the Warriors.
It's working out pretty well for the Warriors that he's going to stay.
Good for the Warriors, maybe bad for Lorenzo Neal, a guy who.
What's it bad for me?
Because you repeatedly tried to troll the audience, and more particularly me, and I thought we'd become close ever since that candlelit dinner in Las Vegas. I thought we'd become good friends.
The infamous foot conversation.
Yes, and thank you, Joe, and yet you went out of your way to repeatedly antagonize me with this fake news. So
I don't know if you guys can look at it fake. It made sense, you know?
To some, sure.
To a lot of people.
I think there are a few ways you can spin this.
Yes.
I look at this as you had a very compelling theory that you thought was worthy of discussion. And you know what? It was worthy of discussion. I think we got a lot of mileage out of it. I thought it took us down a lot of interesting avenues in terms of potential hypotheticals. Well, if this domino falls, what could happen to this domino? Because let's face it, we're always looking ahead to the future with these teams. How much time are we going to spend on that Hawks game today? And that was a good Hawks game.
Man.
That came down to the stretch. Wire. Iguodala was huge.
Yeah.
But we're not going to really talk about that today. We are going to talk about KD. We're going to talk about what Houston did Saturday night. We're all fixated on the future. So I thought it was a very compelling theory. It turns out that the theory won't have any more legs past today, past Friday.
Well, chop off the legs and call him Stubby. Because...
But the thing about it, it's a crazy thing about... Stranger things have happened, guys.
Yeah, sure.
And so you'd never say
never.
You're
not still on this, are you?
Joe, okay. No,
he's going down with the ship, coach, all good captains.
So if I asked you, Joe, you're going to leave the station? You're going to say, Lo, what are you talking about?
Why does that have to be the hypothetical?
No,
why does it have to get so personal? And then if it's misinterpreted by someone, I have an extra meeting I have to
have. Can I have your headphones?
Okay.
If you, can I have your stuff?
Anna, you're going to leave the show. They want him to
wait,
take
it. Why didn't mean that?
No, it's not the person. It's the topic.
Okay. Yeah.
But, coach, start with me. I'm the most likely guy to be run out again.
They tried to run him out at the party Friday night.
I got fired midway through, yeah.
We got all hammered at this company party Friday night, which, by the way, if we bring back the after show this week, I'm going to bring the shirt
it.
I wore Friday. Yeah. I took a lot of heat for this shirt, and I'm going to put it up to the audience so they can see the shirt and they can weigh in for themselves. I want both male and female perspectives on this.
I can't wait to see it.
We're going to bring back the audio. It's a little too fancy. Perhaps.
Okay. You fancy.
It had some unique straps, and it's not the classic hoodie or whatever I would. Yeah.
It looked velvety with almost like a shawl, double shawl crossover, like a smoking jacket kind of feel to it. I thought it was great. The kid looked good.
Oh, you're looking sweet.
We don't want to give away too much because I'd rather present the visual via a stream after the show, and then everyone will have an opportunity to see the shirt, to touch the shirt, to evaluate the shirt. That will happen at some point this week.
Incredible.
I like that.
But for now, Friday night, the management tried to replace the show. We all had too much to drink, and then they were like, Dibs is out.
Wow.
What are they doing?
Like that.
They're bringing in Steinmetz. It's like, no, that's too much anger.
Too much.
I'm the angry guy. Dibs balances me out. Yin the yang.
It's overrated.
Oh, good morning, Steiny.
Yeah.
Top of the morning to you.
It's like Pennsylvania on one side of the room there.
Yeah, it's just, exactly. So, exactly.
Anyway, as I digest.
So you still think there's a chance that even though Durant's had 100%.
So if Mr. Dibby was saying, hey, ask Dibs, are you going to leave the show? He's like, no, of course not. 100% I'm not. And all of a sudden, Travis is like. Clay is no longer a show. And they're like, you know what we want, Mr. Dibley? He was like, I'm not leaving. But all of a sudden, of course he'll tell us he's not leaving. But of course the sucker's leaving. Now, you got to realize. Now, why would it behoove KD during the season in the middle of a run. I'm just pointing.
Okay. He's a very fair point.
I'm being honest.
This is a very fair point.
And my Twitter blew up, and I just let everyone go. And hey, good for the Warriors. They keep him here. But why in the hell would a guy say, I'm leaving after you, I'm going to opt out? Come on. Who says that?
But who's the equivalent of a national show?
Who would say that, though? Why would I tell someone that I'm leaving and I'm around my boys, we're on a roll? You don't say that. You don't tell people, okay, I'm thinking about it. No.
I got to be honest. I did not prepare for that comeback, and I should have. And that's, yeah.
I'm just bringing it up, if he's asked
point blank and he says nothing, then we all wildly speculate.
No question.
If he says he's gone, it causes a rift in the locker room.
He loses.
The only option he has is to say, yeah, I'm coming back. Just make it easy and put it into
it. Disagree with that, because he didn't have to be as definitive as he was. He could have just said, you know, I'm not worried about that stuff until the end of the year, Anthony Slater. Don't try to corner me like that.
He did say that first. Listen to the interview. What did he say first? First, like, man, I'm not thinking about that. Oh, you going to go here. And then all of a sudden, once he start pushing him,
what do you say to that, Mr. Neal?
And then he goes, no, I'm not going anywhere. I like it here. Of course. I've seen Brett Favre say the same thing.
Apparently this take is still in play. I thought we had put an end to it.
I'm not. I could be wrong, guys. I'm just saying there's a lot
of things. Mr. Neal, you think you could be wrong? And I say Mr. Neal because Elizabeth in Oakland says I'm too hard on you. So, Mr. Neal, are you introducing the possibility that you could be wrong here on this Kevin Durant conundrum?
I could be, but you guys,
okay, yeah.
Is the Clippers not going to have room for a max player?
The Clippers, yes.
Lakers will have two.
Oh, yes.
And the Lakers are playing well.
They're playing.
Lonzo had a great game.
Oh, my God. He's hitting them threes and beat the Spurs. Mm. But as I digest. Okay, now, who brought him here? The logo. Jerry West is at the Clippers. You can't sit here and just tell me, guys, that you think that if he calls Katie ain't going to take his phone call, though?
Mr. Neal, I think you're overestimating what the logo did to quote, bring him here. He certainly was a part of it, but Kevin Durant didn't come here just to spend time with the logo. I think you're overselling that angle, Mr. Neal.
I would say your dedication to the take is remarkable.
I'm wrong. I'm just saying
the fact that you came in prepared to just fight this off today. Kudos to you, sir.
I'm wrong.
You got Deontay Wilder throwing some big time haymakers at you, and you're popping back.
Yeah, KD said he's staying. Boom. Okay, that's fine. But all I want you guys to realize is, who wouldn't say that? I mean, you're in a situation.
Texas LeBron. LeBron never commits to anything.
LeBron ain't winning a championship. LeBron doesn't have a championship team.
It's a chip. Kids call it a chip.
He's not getting a chip. So you got to realize, why would he didn't flat out say that he's leaving Cleveland, but you have a guy in KD. Why would he mess up what's going on? Why would you even hint? I'll handle that after the season. You know what kind of stuff everyone in the locker room would say? Oh man, you go handle it after the season. Why would he mess up chemistry, guys? Why? For what? For who?
Mr. Neal, of course he would.
Does he not want to win a championship, Mr. Dibble?
Yes, and that's why he wants to stay, Mr. Neal, and that's why he was so definitive in saying 100%. And that's why your Twitter feed and your phone blew up, because much like a heavyweight boxer, yeah, you're still on your feet, but you are getting bludgeoned. You're like Randall Tex Cobb right now against Larry Holmes, 1980, I believe.
God, he beat him.
The old football player who...
He bludgeoned him.
He didn't go down, and you're not going down either, but...
They had to stop it, though.
You're like Randall Tex Cobb right now, Coach.
I could be. I'm not. Here's the thing.
Look it up for you kids.
Let me throw out the Kai and Lake Arrowhead. How about that?
Yes.
We got a new week of the power rankings getting set to start now.
Please.
Kai and Lake Arrowhead. What's up, Kai? What are you thinking?
So I'm thinking, guys. First off, I want to thank you guys for the great morning again, as always.
That's how we do.
Last Friday, you were mentioning something about the soup du jour, and I came up with the soup opera. But I want to talk about what should have been thrown in the assistant coach's face. It should have been waves in his face.
Oh.
No caller yesterday or on Friday said that. They're not listening to you guys. The worst thing in the face is waves in the face.
Nice.
But we got to drop the call
only because we're up against it. Kai, that's
waves,
great stuff.
Huge-ass waves hitting you in the face. Just boom.
That's a great point.
Good reference.
A great clip, too.
Good reference.
Shout out, Bernsey. Some music, please. Selection Sunday is right around the corner. Wild weekend, especially when it came to Michigan and Michigan State, man. Michigan's head coach, I don't know a ton about college basketball. John Beilein, is that the name? Every single year, that dude has his team ready to play. Yeah. And the reason we're talking about this is because 5-Hour Energy and the greatest tournament in the land have come together to put together something special this year, the 5-Hour Energy Bracket Breakdown, an opportunity for you to host your tournament challenge via 5-Hour Energy with some very interesting twists, Lo.
No question. I was saying, bowler up, and they went down. I'm watching that game, and I was like, oh, my God, those guys could have used that 5-Hour Energy drink. I can't wait till this tournament starts because, you know, these games, Joe, they start early and they end late. So why don't you head down to your local grocery and grab you some 5-Hour Energy to keep you flowing throughout the day.
5-Hour Energy and their bracket breakdown coming soon. When the site goes live, we'll let you know so you can host all of your tournament action there. Super slugger, Oakland A's first baseman, Matt Olson. He's going to join us next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Did anyone see the story about Shaquem Griffin this past weekend?
I did, yeah.
For those who aren't familiar, Griffin is an outside linebacker, a pass rusher from the University of Central Florida. 2 years ago, he was the conference's Defensive Player of the Year. This past year, he was named MVP of the Peach Bowl. He's a talent. What makes him a story is that he doesn't have a left hand. He had it amputated when he was 4 years old.
Saw that.
He showed up at the combine and ran a 4.38.
Put wings on him.
Fastest 40 time for a linebacker in more than 10 years. He also, despite not having a hand, put up 20 reps of 225 pounds in the bench. That happened, I think, Friday or Saturday and got people talking. Then he ran 4.38. This guy almost wasn't going to be invited to the combine. Now, all of a sudden, people are talking about, well, what round is he going to go in?
Yeah.
What do you do with him? I mean, I don't mean to sound insensitive. That's not what I'm trying to get at. But
get
if you're missing a left hand and you play outside linebacker, but you have all these other measurables and you're a good guy and you produced in college, I mean, what's your upside? What's your downside?
Well, I think it's like we were joking, but talking about it earlier. Why was people saying, God, is the guy getting drafted or not? It's like, dude, Stevie Wonder can't see, but he can still sing. Let him sing. The guy don't have a hand, but he can play football. Let him play. And you got to realize it's that club. He's got that little stump. And, you know, if he punches you with that stump and he keeps the outside arm free, well, think about, I mean, you're in your car, you're driving. People say, oh, God, this guy can't play. He's not going to be able to tackle. Show me guys that wrap up. You go look at a football game and go see a game where you see a guy just wrap up. It's usually arm tackle. It's throw your shoulder in there. It's drop your. It's tackle like that. So I don't see it being a big deal.
We'll jump on this more throughout the course of the program, but we're very happy to go to the phones. He's the first baseman for your Oakland Athletics, Matt Olson, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Matt? Thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. We appreciate it. We know things are cooking down in Mesa at the moment. Take us through the vibe around spring training this year for the Oakland A's. I know it's been a tough couple of seasons, but the more people I talk to who kind of put projections together for a living, they are really liking the buzz around you guys this season.
Yeah. You know, great vibes down here in the clubhouse and on the field. You know, I think the way we ended last year kind of gave us some momentum, and everybody came into spring ready to work and, you know, just all around good vibes.
Big power numbers last year. I believe you guys were top five in the league and home runs are top six. How important is that to repeat that sort of success, not only for yourself, but for the rest of the lineup this year?
You know, it's obviously a pretty big part of our game for a couple of guys. You know, KD obviously is one that pops to mind with what he's done the past couple of years, but I think just, you know, aside from the power stuff, just putting together good at-bats as a whole and, you know, trying to keep that line moving, as they say.
Matt Olson, Oakland A's first baseman with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. A lot of young talent on the squad. A perfect marketing opportunity between you and Chapman, in my opinion. You got two Matts. You guys are working the corners. Have you figured out how to get your agents and representatives together to bring in those million-dollar endorsement deals?
You know, I haven't heard much wind of million-dollar endorsement deals coming, but, you know, I'm very open to it. But, you know, the guys here with the media staff are doing a good job, and I think they're trying to run with that. And, you know, that's all fun, but it all matters what happens on the field.
Show me the money, Matt. Show me the money. There you go. That's the saying. Hey, when you think about, you know, the Oakland Athletics and what you guys are doing and what you guys are trying to do, a lot of naysayers, a lot of guys talking about the A's, you know, kind of a team that, you know, don't spend a lot of money, don't necessarily have all the talent. How do you guys build on that? How do you guys use that as momentum? And what are some of the things that Skipper gets you guys going, you know, especially like now before the season really gets kicked off? What are some of the things you guys do to build and really carry and say, look, we're going to do something special?
Yeah, you know, I think we're kind of taking that. We obviously don't take too much weight with things that are said, but,
sure.
You know, we do catch wind of it. And I think we're kind of, you know, everybody's, I guess, sleeping on us a little bit as far as, you know, teams that have gone out like the Astros and Angels within our division and made these kind of bigger moves in the offseason. You know, I think we kind of take it as, you know what, the team that we have now, we don't really need to go out and make these big moves, at least we feel, to compete. So, you know, people might be sleeping on it a little bit, but, you know, I think we're happy with what we got and we're ready to go out there and compete.
Odds are they're not sleeping on you, though, Matt. One home run in every 7.8 at-bats last year. What sort of adjustment do you make going into this year, knowing that the pitchers and other scouting reports are going to be focusing more on getting you out?
Yeah, I mean, whether I did that last year or not, it's kind of that's always going to be happening in baseball. Just kind of that cat and mouse between hitter and pitcher. Obviously, you might be getting a little more looks from the pitchers, and they might be doing a little more homework because of the success that I had. But you know, just what I've been doing, guys have made adjustments in the past and tried to do things to me. And I just kind of have to counter it, see what they want to do and counter that.
Oakland A's first baseman Matt Olson joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What was the reaction in the clubhouse this spring to the proposed possible pace of play rule changes? We kicked them around on the show. We've been asking different guys in the league what they thought about them. How was the reaction in the Oakland A clubhouse?
You know, it was fine. I don't. Honestly, that stuff doesn't affect us too much. It's also out of our control. So, you know, we just kind of have to take the punches and adjust to what they want us doing and try to make it the most comfortable situation for us when we're out on the field.
Have you discussed the meeting on the mound protocol now? Because it used to be you could just trot over as a first baseman and have a few words with your pitcher if you wanted in the fourth or whatever. But now you've got to actually have a strategy and some accountability. Has there been any discussion about the catcher only doing it or maybe having full infield meetings? What has the skipper been saying about that?
Yeah, we talked about it. You know, it's just kind of seeing how the game's going and whether we, you know, just kind of use our judgment, whether we think pitcher needs to, you know, take a little breather or you know, kind of change up his rhythm a little bit if he's struggling. You know, I think it's mainly going to be the catcher's job, you know, because they probably have a better feel with that. But I don't think there's going to be really any hesitation if we think as position players that we need to come in there and say something.
Well, Matt, listen, we know you got a lot going on. We very much appreciate you spending some of your morning with us today. Thanks for the insights. Best of luck through the rest of spring training, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Hey, thanks, guys, very much. Appreciate it.
Go get that money, Matt. Go get that money.
Oakland A's first baseman Matt Olson joining us here on 95.7 The Game. A couple of announcements. 7:10, so about 15 minutes from now, you're going to have another opportunity to win $1,000 and the release of the first ever Bay Area Sports Talk audience rankings, a.k.a. Baystar. Baystar taking place at 8:45. We judged your calls last week. We had multiple meetings over the last few days to assess the top five and then the others receiving votes. We will release those at 8:45, and it's a new week, so we are taking calls all throughout. We will be judging once again. You rep your region. Napa, show up. Oakland, show up. San Jose, Benicia, you name it, show up. I've talked to a few bookmakers in Las Vegas over the last few weeks as they continue to release their MLB win totals. And one of the questions naturally I'm going to get to is, what do you think of the Giants? What do you think of the A's? Give me an idea of what you guys are seeing and thinking about with the Bay Area teams. Giants are split, depending on who you talk to, even within the book. I talked to Ed Sammons from the Westgate like 2 weeks ago, and he told me they had six guys working on their win totals. and they were splitting the room on the Giants. There were three of them that really liked him around 83, 84 wins. There were three of them that had him down around 76 wins. Didn't think it was going to be a big season. Then we talked about the A's, and Ed's a relatively even-keeled guy. Immediate uptick in the voice. Loves the A's this year. He goes, the A's personally for him, even as a bookmaker, the A's personally are one of his favorite plays this year. They're out there around 74, 75 wins. That's the over-under. Loves the over. He says that's one of his favorite plays this year. He likes the A's, and he's not the only one.
Yeah.
The more you talk to people, they're leaning to the A's. It's not this little secret where everyone loves them, but that seems to be one of the trendy bets amongst guys who do this for a living.
Yeah.
A's over.
And I'm looking right now at the total at 74.5, but it's juiced to the over minus 125.
Yeah.
So a lot of people do like the over at 74.5, which I like that better than where the Giants sit, which is what, 81.5?
They're up around like 82, 83, depending on the book.
Right. And it's interesting what you say about it being split, because you really can see them being an 85 or 86 win team quite easily, but you can also see them not being that if they have some injuries to the lineup, or if Johnny Cueto has another kind of a dud year, or if the back end of the rotation doesn't really do anything for you, you could see them being a 74 win team.
While we're at it, shout out to the Earthquakes. They're off to a 3-point start. Very nicely done Saturday night in the debut. 3-2 victory over Minnesota.
Had to hold on to that one. Hey, we're up 3-0.
I saw 3-0. I was like, woo, look at this.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw 3-2. It's like, damn.
Hang in there.
You don't see a whole lot of this.
No.
Is, woo. Okay. So shout out to the Earthquakes. Also, shout out to Burger King making strong moves this morning. Burger King has announced that they have signed Conor McGregor to promote their new spicy chicken sandwich. This is interesting because last week the rankings came out. Taco Bell had overtaken Burger King in terms of size and popularity in America. I can't tell you who 1 and 2 are. I'm assuming McDonald's and then probably Wendy's.
Subway's up there, I know.
Do they count in this
category? I believe they do,
Taco Bell. Ooh,
okay.
Taco Bell making strong moves.
Taco Bell moves to 3. Burger King slides back to 4 in the power rankings.
Okay.
And they went out and they immediately signed Conor McGregor to promote specifically the spicy chicken sandwich.
Huh.
So you don't even have to talk about the burger. You're just talking about the spicy chicken.
That's good. That's a popular sandwich. I think people are moving away from
what,
the
Wendy's
burger.
Wendy's still dominates the spicy chicken.
In the chicken sandwich rankings.
Yeah.
If you're going to spicy chicken in the rankings, nice guy Steven gives me the look. No. It's spicy chicken from Wendy's, and then you drive to McDonald's and you get the fries.
Yeah, Wendy's also got the
bang bang.
The good chili, too. Wendy's got the good chili.
Yeah. Soup, as you like to call it.
I never said
Guy Fieri, what's a great...